there is a reason to give thanks. You know, I'm excited about Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving because of the fact that particularly I like to go to my mom's house. My mom's house is the bomb. I mean, there's no better place than mom's because of the fact that mom does collard greens like nobody else. Mom knows how to make a sweet potato pie, and my wife and I have this argument of whose mama makes the best sweet potato pie, and I give her mom the props on a sweet potato pie, but nobody can cook greens like my mama. And especially when she adds that ham hock in there. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about this morning? And I love Thanksgiving. I love getting around family and friends and celebrating and thanking God for what he's brought us through during the year. And a lot of times we really get this holiday of Thanksgiving twisted, and we start getting focused on stuff. God, what did you give me or what you didn't give me? And I think this is a really good year to have Thanksgiving, because I think there's nobody in this room, whether you have money or not, have a home or not, has not been affected by the negative downturn of markets, by the struggling of our economy, by things that have happened. I looked at our account the other day, and it seemed like it just need some help. That's why I just hired Joe Murray. Thank God for Joe Murray of First Financial Group. He's going to help my account get back up to where it's supposed to be. But we look at our lives and say, God, what do we really have to thank God for? You know, we focus on stuff. We focus on things. But there is more to things in life than what MasterCard can buy. There's a commercial. If you ever seen a commercial with MasterCard, and they talk about these wonderful sentiments in life, and they say, you know, some things are for free, some things are valuable, some things are special, and for everything else, there's MasterCard. But we really don't want to focus on the things that MasterCard can get you. We want to focus on the everything else that God offers you. How many people know that if you have breath in your body, that's something to thank God for? Matter of fact, just to drop a note, if you look in the 150th Psalm, it begins by saying, praise ye the Lord. But if you look at the very last verse of the 150th Psalm, it says, let everything that have breath. Everybody breathe in. Everybody breathe out. Did you pay for that?
No.
Did you work for that?
No.
That's something that God gave you. And I don't care how much money you have or you don't have. I don't care how much credit you got on MasterCard or whether you just can't get credit from anybody. Breath was something that God gave you for free. And so you have to learn to stop focusing on things all the time and start looking at the things that God has given you that has nothing to do with money. And when you really think about it, it has nothing to do with you at all. It all has to do with the mercy of God. In our text, we want to talk about four things that God gives us by his mercy. It has nothing to do with you. Just do me a favor, point to your neighbor, get up all in their grill and say, neighbor, it has nothing to do with you. Come on, get rude with them this morning. Get a finger, get all in their face and say, neighbor, it has nothing to do with you. It all has to do with the mercy of God. Let me drop a note here. See, a lot of things we think that we get stuff because we're good. God rewards us because we did things right. And if you read in Isaiah, he says that even our filthy rags, even our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So there's nothing that we can do to earn what we're going to talk about today, because it's all given to us by his mercy. Somebody ought to say mercy.
Mercy.
What we ought to be thankful for. To my friends that are here, I jump around a lot on stage. it, the scripture really begins by in the fourth verse, back in the third, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is the Lord of lords, and his mercy endureth forever." But then when we get from 4 to 11, it really talks about that he is our creator. He's our creator. The first thing that we ought to thank God for, simply because he created the heavens and the earth. When you get to Genesis and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." And then in verse 26 of the first chapter, it says, "And God said, let us make man in his image after his likeness, that he would have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over all the earth." He looked at the sky and saw that it was dark, and he created. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then he separated the light, said, "You be over here, and darkness be over here." And then he separated the land from the seas and said, "Land, you be over here, and seas, you be over here." God created that. It had nothing to do with you, and it was all because of his mercy. So the first thing that we have to understand, the reason why we ought to have Thanksgiving, not because of stuff, but because simply because God created the heavens and the earth. It's real quiet in here. I don't get it. See, you have to understand that if God did not create the heaven and the earth, you wouldn't be here, that chair wouldn't be here, the shoes on your feet wouldn't be here. God created the heavens and the earth, and it's all because of his mercy. I notice you think that the Thanksgiving message should always be about, well, what do I have on? God, I thank you. What am I wearing on my feet? God, I thank you. We have food to eat today. Thank you, First Financial Group. But thank you, God. But no, it has nothing to do with that stuff. The reason why we offer thanksgiving to God is because of his mercy. And the result of his mercy, the first thing, was that he created the heavens and the earth. Well, what is the second thing? As you get down to verse 12 and you go down through about verse 17, it deals with the fact that God is our deliverer. Amen. God is our deliverer. That means he gets us out of stuff. Let me help you with this. When I was about 12 to about 14 years old, I used to get in a lot of trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble. And it seems like I was always on punishment, like David and Jonathan. I was always on punishment. And if you want to know where you get that punishment from, it's from my mommy and daddy. They set this punishment up. See, in our house, there was a den that was the television room. It was the television room. And the television room was the paradise. It was the place where everybody laughed and enjoyed and had fun. But see, when I got in trouble, my mom would sit a chair outside of the wall on the other side where you could hear the television. You could hear the paradise, but you was in trouble. You was in trouble, and you was on the other side of the wall sitting in a chair where you could hear the joy, but you could not participate in the joy. You could hear the laughter, but you could not understand what the laughter was all about. And I was on punishment. I was in trouble, but I was my daddy's son. I was my daddy's, and my daddy would come in here. My daddy didn't have any teeth, so he couldn't pronounce Teresa. He said, TC, why do you have the boy on trouble? And she would explain, and he would say, the boy didn't mean no harm. TC, would you let him off just this one last time? And he would woo her in a way that I would not understand. And then my daddy would come back a little while later. Look, I got you off. You can now go into paradise. See, he was my deliverer. You're going to get it in a second. See, what happens is that in our sin, in our unrighteousness, in everything that we've done wrong that was pleasing in his sight, Jesus came down. He made himself of no reputation, but he took on the form of a servant and became in the likeness of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and he was our deliverer. See, we were destined for damnation, destined for death, but because of his blood that he shed on Calvary, what happened? He delivered us. Oh, I got to borrow some from my friend Alan Waller. See, every once in a while now and then I go to Sam's Club. How many people have ever heard of Sam's Club? Sam's Club. See, Sam, I love Sam's Club. And at Sam's Club, they have all this stuff. And a lot of times I go and buy a whole bunch of food for this place. And then I get to the register. I get to the register and I pay for everything. I got this Sam's credit account and I just say, charge it. And they pay and they give me a receipt. And then I'm headed out the door and I'm thinking everything is over. I paid for it. It belongs to me. But then there's this big hairy dude standing at the door saying, I need to check your receipt. I paid for this. Why can't I get out? See, I have to deliver you out of this place. And what he does is he checks it. And he says, I see that this has been paid for. And then he lets me out. You're going to get it in a second. See, I have all this sin in my life, the things that I have done wrong. I have this list in my life, the places I went, the things I've said, the way I've treated people. And there's a cost to be paid because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Somebody's going to get this in a second. But see, then I go to the checkout counter and I say, I got all this stuff, but I don't have anything to pay for it. I tried to check with my MasterCard and I say it's beyond the limit. I pulled out American Express and it's beyond the limit. I tried to bring out some dead presidents, but it's behind the limit. I called for a loan and they would not accept the loan that great. But then I heard a voice from heaven saying that I've sent a son named Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And it's already been paid for. You can let him by because I am his deliverer. Somebody ought to put your hands together and thank God for him being our deliverer. Hallelujah. So he's our creator, but he's also our deliverer. I like this next part in verse 24. And it says, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. This word redeemed is amazing. You know, the best thing I can really describe with this word redeemed, how many people have ever been to the pawn shop? The rest of y'all lying. All y'all pawned something. Whether it belonged to you or not, you pawned it. But if you ever go to the pawn shop, and the idea is that you would release property over to the pawn shop, and they would give you what's called a redemption ticket. And if you come back within a certain amount of time with the necessary funds, you can redeem what is yours. You got it? You go to the pawn shop. You have a television that hopefully was yours, and you took it to the pawn shop, and you pawned it, and then they gave you a redemption ticket, and they said, if you come back in a certain amount of time, you can redeem what's yours, or we are going to sell it to somebody else. See, what happens is that when sin entered into the world by Adam, we were then cast over as being enslaved to sin. We know we were the creation of God, but we were the property or enslaved to sin. But see, what happened was that it was a ticket that was on that piece of property, which was you and which was me. But then Jesus came down and he paid the price. And what he did is he cashed in the ticket by his blood and say, I am redeeming back what belongs to me because that's mine. And so when we sing that song, Redeemed, that we have a song that the angels cannot sing, Redeemed, it means that God has taken us back. We did not pay for it. We did not work for it. But it's because of his what? His mercy. You're getting it. You're getting it. There's four things that we ought to thank God for, and this Thanksgiving has nothing to do with stuff. He is our creator, he is our deliverer, he's our redeemer, but the fourth thing is that he is our provider. It says, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, I struggle with this. I've traveled all around the world. We now have missions in Guyana, Jamaica, India, Nigeria, South Africa, and here. And I've seen people struggle. And I've seen people without food. So I'm looking at this text and saying, God, what are you saying? You provide food for all flesh. But I've seen children eat out of trash. God, I've seen people struggle. I've seen people hurt. See, the problem is not that it's not enough food, but the food is not being evenly distributed. And when you really understand this text, is that he has given food for all flesh. And what we need to do is redistribute what God has given to the earth so everybody can have something. But it's not God that has caused hunger. It's us that has caused hunger. But God has given food to all flesh. And because of that, we can say thank you and that his mercy endure forever. But how many people here has God provided food for that you didn't have to pay for? How many people that God has provided a way when you really didn't deserve it? Those of you that are working, you have a job that you really didn't deserve, but it's by the grace and mercy of God, you have what you have. Somebody ought to lift your hands up, throw your head back, and say, God, I thank you. His mercy. So we come back to the 26th verse, and it seems like it begins the same way that the first verse does. It says, oh, give thanks unto God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Not because of stuff. See, we get tied up with thanking God for stuff, and don't get me wrong, it's good to have stuff. I need stuff. You need stuff. And matter of fact, God wants to give you stuff, but that's not what Thanksgiving is all about. Thanksgiving is because of the things that he provides, because of his mercy. His mercy. The things to be thankful for, that he is our creator God, that he is our deliverer, he is our redeemer, and he is our provider.